Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to Audible for supporting The Instance. Get started with a 30-day trial when you go to audible.com/wow or text wow to 500-500.
I'm Ghostcrawler. I am totally off the leash, and you are listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Instance, episode 546 for January 25th, 2019. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by the illustrious Garrett Weinzierpel, all the way from Florida. What's going on, Garrett?
Oh, you know, Scott, just I told Kyle last night, because I'm going to Disney later, I have Disney-itis.
Yeah.
It's that feeling you get when you know you're about to go to Disney, and you're just like, yeah, man. Everything's cool.
It's a good feeling, man, you're saying. It feels good?
Yeah, because Disney-itis doesn't seem like something you want to get. But apparently, it's quite a positive feeling.
Yeah, Disney-itis, Patrick. Catch it.
Yeah, catch it. It's the hot new wave of the future.
Like senior-itis, but you're about to go to Disney as opposed to you're about to be done with school.
Yeah, I totally get that. You're getting trunky is what you're saying. That's a phrase we used to use. We wanted to get out of school. We were feeling trunky, yeah. And it meant the idea was that your trunk was packed and you're ready to go, and it's just a matter of time before you go, and
Gotcha. I thought you were okay. I was like, is it a play on truancy? No, like you feel no. like being late?
No, you're close, but no cigar. But yeah, that's exciting. When you go, make sure you enjoy the thrills of Disney World. It's for your birthday, right? We should mention that. Right?
Ooh, happy. Right, it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yesterday.
No, it's today.
Oh, it's today. Happy birthday.
It's
today. Yeah.
I knew that.
Congratulations as you venture further into your 30s.
Yes, further into my 30s, where when you spend 20 minutes in an attic, you pay for it for 3 days after.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, do you remember those? The 30s? Do you remember those? Those were good.
Oh, the sweet days of the 30s.
Yeah.
How far away they are now and how I miss them.
I miss them terribly. We used to think, I remember thinking they were, that meant you were old. And now that I'm in my late 40s, I look back and go, nope. I was wrong as rain. I should have been happier there. That was a great time to be in your 30s.
I think it was BlizzCon.
Go ahead.
I think it was BlizzCon 2017 where I found out how old you are, Patrick, and I still don't believe it.
You didn't know before?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I assumed, I don't know, for some reason, I just assumed you were
so
in
wait,
your 30s.
Make me feel better a little bit. How old did you think I was?
I thought you were
I'm hoping it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mid to late 30s. Yeah, I thought you were like just maybe knocking on the door of 40.
Oh, he wishes.
Nice.
He
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wishes.
I do wish. But so, you know, I don't know if this is any, you know, we shouldn't talk about this on the show because it has nothing to do with Blizzard. But
you're going to do it anyway.
I'm going to do it anyway. Very, very quickly. I forgot what I wanted to say. So there you go. That's
oh, wonderful.
You know, there. It was about age. It was something about getting old.
How ironic.
Oh,
that you forgot.
No, I know. Okay. Like 30, getting to 30 is completely fine. I didn't mind at all. 40, it was like, yeah, whatever. Mm. Getting to 50, because I'm 45 for the people who don't know.
Yeah.
Getting to 50 is weird.
It is weird.
Because like 50 is really, it's really old. Like you're wearing old people's glasses. I don't know. 50 is weird.
50 is weird, but don't forget, 50 today, you'd be dead already if this is the 1800s. We'd be dead. In fact, Garrett would be close to dead because nobody lived past like 35 was like the cap, man. Everybody was getting diphtheria and freaking weird warts and stuff and just dying left and right, and you'd have 20 kids so you'd have enough to run the farm. Like, that's just how it was. Today, we live like 80-something, so we're good. We're only halfway. It's fine. Patrick?
My hope is that we live long enough that cloning gets to the point that after the three of us are gone in the year 2175, our clones are still doing the show.
Yeah, good point. Our reserved consciousnesses will be functioning in some giant server.
I'd be up for it for mostly, but I think we'd need some kind of common decision and consensus to clone Scott.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not something we are certain we want to unleash upon the world.
No, don't enter this lightly, for sure. I guarantee you that's something you don't want to just jump into. But I was thinking the other day, and then we'll get off this horrible subject of age. And we're all doing it, by the way. I don't know if any, like, if you're 18 and you're thinking, yeah, you guys are old, you're aging at the same rate we are. You just don't know it yet. So you'll either get there or you'll die young. Which way do you want it? Do you want to get there or die young? It's your choice. Anyway, here's the thing. What was I going to say? See, I'm doing it too now. I know what I was going to say. If this was the 1800s, I'd be in a rocking chair. If I was still alive, I'd be in a rocking chair on some porch muttering to myself, because 3 or 4 years ago, my family has a genetic condition where they get cataracts early in life. So in my early 40s, I had cataracts like an 80-year-old normally gets. I had them in my 40s. So nowadays, you go in, they do a surgery thing, they grind up your lens and put in a fake robot one, and bam, you have great eyes for the rest of your life. You're good. Clear as a bell. In the 1800s, they didn't have any of that. So I would just be there I'd be that guy with the white eyes, be all white, because that's what happens to cataracts. You wouldn't see any pupils. I'd have long white hair and some sort of beard. I'd be rocking back and forth, predicting the end times or whatever. That's what would happen. Yep.
I would have died in, I think, like first grade. I had a crazy infection in my body.
Ooh.
And yeah, if it was the olden days, I'd be gone already.
That's right. You already wouldn't even be here.
It'd just be over.
So let's never. Y'all would have been
spared my terrible opinions about World of Warcraft.
There you go.
Oh, what horrible! I was going to say future, but actually it's present. You're describing. But so essentially, Scott would have been a Diablo character, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I guess Garrett, you would have been a Diablo. Like, you're also a Diablo character, but you're just like one of the villagers that dies when you're level 2 and you enter. Mm-hmm. The
yes.
town, and,
yeah.
and they're like, ah,
yeah, totally.
And you have to kill them again.
Yeah,
I'd be one of those corpses you walk by that doesn't get up.
Yeah, I'd be in a chair going, Mephisto, perhaps the most evil of the primeval. Like, that's all I would do. I'd just sit around.
But
like
I have no idea what he looks like.
And it would be extra weirded out because there's no Diablo in the 1800s. They don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, this has all been good and well and educational, but we have things we have to discuss today, and it all begins with this. World of Warcraft had a major week, a big week, you might say. We'll get to the Project CD Red guy hire in a minute and what we think he's going to do, you guys. Just calm yourselves down. Don't worry, that comes up today in the show. But we got to talk about what's happening in WoW. The battle for Dazalazanar.
I love that you're just as good Dazar-a-lore. As me to pronounce
I hate the name of that thing, so I always get it wrong.
Dazar-a-lore.
It's out. It's open. It's open. The Alliance is set to stage an attack on the heart of the Zandalari Empire in a bid to sever the ties of the Zandalari and the Horde. Yes, yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Are we going to spoil, or are we a spoil-free zone?
We can. I don't think. I mean,
you're gonna spoil.
We're going to spoil,
everywhere.
But I've managed to avoid it, and I haven't seen any.
Well, that's your problem. Get off the show.
I know. I'm just asking. I'm saying there might be an argument. It's the first week that the raid has been up. I think it would be reasonable for people.
I'm sorry, you go poke your head in the door. That's all you have to do. You don't even need to raid it. You can just dip a toe in and you get to see the cinematic.
That's true. There's not much. Okay. There's not much to spoil. He's right.
Yeah, but it's the first week. Some people don't go and play like the second it's available, and they might. I don't know. I'm just.
We'll just warn them. We'll just
the
say
week and the.
I get it.
We have waited 3 months to see what the hell would happen with the Bombs Alliance players have put on freaking boats.
Yeah. I mean, look, Patrick is a man of the people. I understand what he's saying. He wants to protect the spoiler, the people who are afraid of spoilers. Let's just say this. If you log into the game, you're going to just see this stuff. I guess you'll see different things depending on which side you're on. But go. I would recommend going and seeing both cinematics that have been presented. One is a bigger deal than the other, in my opinion. Okay, well, we'll get to all that. We'll talk about that in a second. I do want to talk about some of the story bits because we are finally getting somewhere in some ways. And in other ways, it's just like, okay, wait, we're not really, this could have been shown 3 months ago. Like we're not getting that much new stuff out of these stories yet. Okay. But there is new content to play. This is all happening. Horde players will begin the raid by defending against the invasion in the northern jungle of Zuldazar, which is absolutely happening with hood up Jaina. Jaina's got her hood up. That means war mode is on. That's what I think happens. The rest of us have to go to our cities. We have to go to Orgrimmar or Stormwind and turn on war mode. I think Jaina just has to flip her hood up. Flunk, and now she's in war mode.
This should be the thing now, actually. If you turn on war mode in your alliance, you automatically get a hood displayed. And if you turn on war mode on Horde, you automatically hide your shoulders.
Yeah. Like,
that's how you know.
Or your arm turns dark blue.
Yeah.
That might be a spoiler coming up here in a minute.
I'm not done being cranky. Like, we have had no story to talk about since the launch of this expansion. On this show, we have not talked about the story needle moving an inch for months.
Yeah.
Now we finally have like a tiny move of the story needle and we're not allowed to talk about it.
We're totally allowed to talk about it. But I'm saying.
Okay. I'll say something.
Okay.
We can talk about it, but since I've been avoiding spoilers and I haven't seen any of it, I feel like one of you two should do an epic recounting of both cinematics and explain to me exactly what happens in your own way and voice and terms.
All right.
Maybe each one of you can take one. And so that would make it, you know, worth it for me to discover it in that way.
Because
I value the time I have with my friends.
All right. Here's the deal with the alliance thing. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to explain
it. You have to recount it.
I'm not going to recount
it. A retelling of the... Why?
Because I'm going to give the bits I understand, and then I want Garrett, who knows more about what's happening on that side of the wackadoo, to tell me about why I'm wrong about some of these details, okay? Because I'm not really following the Alliance bits very much. I'm just not. This is the way I play WoW. I'm a Horde guy. That's what I do.
You're a Horde guy who spends $60 to get an Alliance.
who's still sitting there not fully leveled. Yeah, exactly. It's the best $60 I ever spent. So
I did the same thing, dude.
It frustrates the crap out of me that I did that. And this isn't even the one everyone's like, wait, Scott, I thought you did it for a mage who was 108.5. No, that's a different mistake I made when I was in a fever dream. And that guy, by the way, that panda, that mage that I boosted with the free boost that comes, shouldn't call it a free boost, the boost that came with the expansion, took him in 106 degree fever, took him from 108.5 to 110. I went to Zuldazar, sat his ass down on the freaking overlook there, the temple, and that's far as he got. I haven't done anything else with him. He's just sitting there. What a waste. And then the $60 I spent for the extra one for the Alliance guy, he's still sitting there. He's still hanging out in freaking Ghost Town doing nothing. I suck. But anyway, I ended up power leveling everything else. Like all the stuff I didn't spend money on, I went back and did all of Legion content with the freaking Druid. What is wrong with me? I don't know. I don't have an answer for this. I can't explain it. Something's wrong with me.
It's almost like you can play this game the way you see fit and that there isn't a wrong way to play World of Warcraft.
You know, you've unleashed my chains. I feel free as a bird now. I can fly away.
You and Ghostcrawler.
I'm totally off the leash now. All right. So from my understanding, Tinker Toy Tibble Belts or whatever his freaking stupid name is, the little gnome you guys have over there.
Gelbin Mechatork.
That guy. He planted bombs on a bunch of Horde ships or something. What's his deal?
Yeah, like 3 months ago at the end of the Alliance War campaign, they put bombs on our ships.
Okay, so I was unaware of that.
Yes. Yes, you should be, honestly. If you have it, it's working as intended. If you didn't play Alliance.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to know, and I didn't cheat and look. Yeah. So
I mean, I do feel maybe a single line should have maybe been in that cinematic of Gelban being like, if the bombs the Alliance heroes put on these ships work, we're going to win.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. We needed something in there just to like clue in the Horde as to just why the hell all the ships blow up.
I really hate that little guy. But anyway, so
but really?
Let me tell you why.
I love Nekator.
Here's why. Because when Jaina starts talking to him, she's being all serious, like, we got to go do the thing, and we're going to attack the Horde where they live, and zibba zabba zubba. And she's getting all serious and everything. And then she'll turn over and go, Mechator, is your freaking stupid button ready? And it just, I can't take it seriously. It's like her talking to a little clown or something. It just doesn't work for me. I can't do gnomes. I hate it. I hate it. Anyway.
Man, I thought it was so well done. I thought they rode the line really well of being true to the gnomes being, they're kind of adorable and silly.
Yeah.
Like that's the gnomes' shtick.
Yeah.
And yet still making it work in like this really serious, like Saving Private Ryan-esque war scene. Like, I don't know. I thought it was brilliant.
Okay.
Like the way they animated Mechator, like he's bouncing. And he's
all that stuff's good. Don't get me wrong. On the technical level, they're killing it with these in-game stuff. Like that.
Yeah,
team
I don't know.
I
really liked it a lot.
The team's really good at that stuff. Now here's the other question I have. This is totally dumb, and I shouldn't even ask it. What weird kind of wireless configuration do you have where you can remote detonate all of those bombs from another ship? Like what Wi-Fi freaking near band.
It was right there. There's a satellite dish moving around in the at the top of the device.
Oh gosh, I hate all that stuff in WoW. I wish it didn't have as much of it. I know it's kind of fun and silly, but I don't know. Maybe I like my sometimes I have my fantasy a little less goofball. You know,
you don't like siege engines and the flying airships and
I like those
and the goblin shredders. You're not into that?
No, I'm into those. Those are okay. I guess
so. The line is just drawn at satellite dishes and red buttons.
Yeah, remote detonation technology in the Azeroth is not. I'm not cool with it.
I'm just trying to find out where the tech line is for you.
Some kind of near band WiMAX going on out in the ocean. It's just dumb. But anyway, whatever. She says, launch your deal. And then when she's about to, a whole bunch of Zandalari freaking flaming, whatever those are, coming at them, like rocket-looking units. And they're having to, you know, stop this barrage. And one of them hits right where Tinker Toy Dingle Dong is working on his button. And it leaves a giant, massive hole. And you think he's almost dead there for a minute. And that's all very good. It's all handled real well. Jaina has to put up her arm and create like a mana shield. To stop
herself. She does like a dope ass arcane barrier like block of this ballistic that lands on the ship.
It's cool. Really cool, and it's very arcane looking, and like you said, and it's very badass.
I always had it in my head that should be a thing paladins should be able to do, is like deflect an attack by like very quickly putting their bubble up.
Yeah,
like for years, I don't know, this has been a thing bouncing around my head that would be cool. Yeah. So I was really excited to see that.
Right. So and then she I can't remember how it all goes after that. Oh, you find out he's not dead. He scrambles around. He finds his freaking ColecoVision shitball button pusher unit. And then he slams it down and boom, 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 boom. All the ships blow up, which looks great and is a big surprise to everybody, obviously, over on the other side. And then Jaina pulls her hood up over her head. It goes into war mode and says, Alliance, forward. And then they go. So that's it. That's all. Did I get it right? Did I miss anything?
No, that's pretty much it.
Patrick, did you feel the breadth and heft of the story there as I told it?
You didn't tell the story. You made silly remarks about some of the things that were like part accessories in the story.
Yeah.
This is the worst possible way I could have experienced this thing that I've been saving myself for.
All right.
No.
Fair. Fair point. Now, I'm just going to say, even though I didn't go through every little story point, that's kind of my problem with the Alliance cinematic. There's really not a lot of substance there. It's really just blow up those ships. Oops, we got delayed. Okay, now blow them up. Okay, cool. Now let's go. Like, that's the story on that side.
I mean, to explain what happened, it's like boats explode and the Alliance make it to Dazar Allor. That's essentially the opening.
Exactly, which is a big deal, but it's not, I mean, it's just action. That's it. That's all.
Oh, but it's so cool. It's so freaking cool. That's
it's
what I
no,
see.
It's cool. I'm not gonna. Listen, you'll get no argument from me. But on the Horde side, with the King Rakatoon, what's his name, Rostakhan, you get a big bump. You know what? That one I kind of feel like I don't want to spoil because it that felt meaty and storyish and like more to it than just some action.
It was a long time coming, for sure. I've been waiting for that particular boot to drop for a while, but it still, to me, it doesn't really drop. It's like a character finds out something I've been waiting for that character to find out, and then the scene ends.
Yeah.
It's just like, ah.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. So, Patrick, I'll just tell you briefly, all right? So, King Hoopty. Well, okay, so down on one of the lower levels of the temple, you got Sylvanas' right-hand man. What's his name?
Thanos
is down there looking all evil and stuff like he always does. And he's down there hanging with, who's he with down there? I forgot who he's with.
He's with one of the Zandalari, like high ranking soldiers. I forget her name.
Okay. So it's just a high ranking soldier. Somebody was there.
Well, and she's wearing a helmet. We're pretty sure she's the one you quest with out in, Voldoon. But, in Voldoon, she's got her pink mohawk, you know,
yeah,
flapping around. But in this one, she has a helmet on, so we're not 100% sure.
So while you're down there, you hear the voice of Talanji go, "Father!" And then you look up, him and Nathanos and Lady Pants look up to the cliff there, the thing, overhang, and standing there is Lady Jaina Proudmoore, who's just looking down all evil and stuff, you know? And then she starts walking away, and Nathanos goes, "Get to the king," and he says it in this very jittery, sort of shaky way. It's awesome. You can tell
his lip quivers. It's such a nice little touch in the animation. So good.
Those guys are killing it with these. Anyway, you rush up there. Talanji's on the ground with her dying father. He's like, "I'm so sorry for what I've done and what I'm about to do, but you don't know it." And then he grabs her arm and transfers whatever deal he made with Bwamsamdi. And then Bwamsamdi shows up, awesome as ever, going, "Hey, everybody, what's up?" Right?
Yes, exactly. And then he just walks in like Kramer in an episode of Seinfeld.
And then he's like, "You don't know about the deal he made." And she's like, "No." And then she realizes, I mean, the enemy's at the gate. She's got to go fight. So there's no time to think about why her father just sent some goo energy up her arm, and her arm's all dark blue now. And Bwamsamdi's having a real blast here. And then it ends. So that's it. Patrick, do you feel caught up? Are you good?
I'm watching the Alliance cinematic now. I didn't listen to a word you said.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
And it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I like
cool.
It.
It is cool. Yeah, that's what we were saying. You should
fantastic.
Watch it. Don't listen to us. You should watch it for real and then really enjoy it. And also the horror.
That's what I've been saying since the beginning of this episode.
But it was fun to recount it a little bit. It's a good time.
But you didn't recount.
I love how bad Patrick is that he didn't watch the cinematics.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're finally catching up. Jeez. All right. And then let's talk about the raid itself. There are a dozen new formidable boss encounters, including Jaina Proudmoore, King Rostakhan. I always want to say
Rostakhan.
Rostakhan.
King Ricearoni.
Ricearoni is in there. Yep. And Tortellini is his daughter. We'll keep all these names straight, everybody. Anyway.
Talanji.
Wait,
no.
Talanji.
Oh, Talanji, right. It's Talanji like Phoebe Buffay's alter ego.
Yeah. Oh, look at you, a Friends fan. Except, I didn't know that.
I don't.
Of course.
You're a friend.
I don't know what that is.
He's a friend of fans. He's a fan of Friends, the show Friends.
Oh, that's why I don't know it.
Because you don't like Friends at all.
No, it's not I don't like it.
We're getting back to the age thing. He's a bit too young.
When the cast of Friends were young, 20s, living in New York, single people, that's what Patrick and I, young 20s, living in New York, single people.
I've seen Seinfeld all the way through like 5 times. I just haven't watched Friends.
Oh, well, you know what? Let me tell you this.
If you had, you'd know of a character called Phoebe who sometimes impersonates another, a fictional character called Regina Falangi.
There you
Falangi.
Go. Falangi.
And you remember Talanji like that.
Yeah, well done. So, Garrett, I would recommend, if you're going to watch it, remember this. The reason Seinfeld's one of the greatest things ever is they never got serious. They never took themselves seriously. So never was there a very special episode, or never was there a moment where everyone got all serious or the audience went, oh, or any of that bull crap, right, that I hate in comedies, especially ones with laugh tracks and audiences. Friends is funny. It's like funny, 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 try to be serious, funny, funny, try to be serious, try to be serious, funny, 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 try to be serious. So if you can deal with that, then you'll be all right. You should watch it.
It doesn't try to be serious.
It's a Ross and Rachel bullshit all the time. Just it sucked. What?
Unless you want to hear me talk about Scrubs, I think we should move back to talking about
Scrubs. Ooh, we could talk about Scrubs. I mean, Scrubs. I know. Okay. Anyway, Scrubs. Yes, World of Warcraft.
Okay, World of Warcraft. Scrubs is great, by the way. Let's just throw that in there. All right. So that's what's going on in there. Mythic difficulty and Raid Finder Wing 1 will open as scheduled January 29th. So we're a little ways off from that. My old raid team, I know, the other night went in and took them 2 hours to get the first boss down. So they're already banging their heads against it. But there's already been many world firsts. Well, a world first and then a few others have followed them. And I didn't write down the guild name. Maybe they're not even a guild anymore because they're just cross-server people. I'm not actually sure about that. But they did it. So we're already done with normal and heroic world firsts. If you want to make your attempt to get the mythic done, you're going to have to wait until the 29th. And for people like Patrick, who wants to do the LFR version only, probably. I'm just kidding. It sounds like I'm throwing shade. I don't care how people play it. Raid Finder Wing 1 will open on the 29th, and you get the second wing on the 12th of February. Okay. Oh, and then cool. Wing 3 is open on the 26th of February. So that's the plan. We are finally there. We finally have some new content, and we've talked a little bit about story. Let's highlight some of what happened in yesterday's Q&A with Ian Hazakostas, who sat down with Lore, and they did their thing. By the way, they need better cameras and better thumbnails for their videos. I'm just going to put that out there. It always catches them when, like, Lore's got one eye open and is kind of doing this like he's going to scratch something, and Ian looks like he's, like, checking an armpit out or something. They need to get, like, a nice graphic there. Just throwing it out there, WoW, or a Blizzard, just if you're listening. I know things are a little weird over there right now, but, you know, you can do it. All right. Anyway, what are we doing? Oh, yeah.
The Q&A.
Yes, here are some big
questions
takeaways.
Questions and answers.
Yes, here's some of the big highlights for me anyway. It was actually not, I don't think, all that great of a Q&A. It was pretty stuff we either already knew or a lot of standard answers to a lot of things. Not that I was expecting much more than that, but there were a few highlights. Kul'tiran humans and Zandalari trolls arrive with 8.1.5. Now, originally the plan was they would be out by now. The reason they're not is twofold. They said it was story reasons. And also that the Kul'tirans are hard to make and they take a lot longer because they are they're a whole new rig in the game as opposed to every other conversion or new race type. You could take the Nightborn and it's based on the rig of the Night Elves. They're not Nightborn. What are they called? The something born? What are they? What's wrong with me?
They're the Nightborn.
Okay, it is the Nightborn. Yeah. Anyway, same rig as the Night Elves. So easy peasy, no problem there. The other elves are just like blood elves, so they're easy again. The forged troll dwarf guys, they're basically dwarves. So that's just a lot of skinning and a few extra spins here and there. But the Kul'tirans are weird shaped, brand new rig, not based on anything else in the game, and they say that took them longer, which I find interesting because I like how the sausage was made stuff. That's interesting to me. When we hear about Blizzard things, yes.
Did they try at least a little to defend the fact that we've had like two brand new races with new skeletons in expansions in the past that came with launch?
Who were they? Remind me. Who'd we get?
Every other race ever before before allied races. Well, so Blood Elves and Draenei at launch of Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
Goblins and Worgen at the launch of Cataclysm.
Yeah. Well, maybe in this case, it's just that they were never the focus. I mean, I agree with you that I felt like I was sold a bill of goods in the early days that said one of the huge reasons this expansion is going to be rad is because we're in the cycle where you get a new race. That's usually what happens. Last time it was class. This time it's race.
Yeah. Oh, and pandas for Pandaria well.
Yeah, exactly. And in this case, we didn't get that. We got promise of more later. I don't know. They didn't actually, I mean, they didn't address it, but I'm guessing they just got behind on it or...
I ask because I'm kind of being facetious. I'm very grumpy. This feels like something that should have been in the game at launch. Like, I don't. It's cool that we just need to finish the war campaign to unlock them, but it's like we've been fighting alongside these people since the first day of the expansion. We should have just been able to roll Kul Tirans and Zandalari right out the gate.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. You're probably right. I think that would have been better for them. I mean, you look. All you need is a little Disney World, and you're going to be fine. All this grumpiness will be gone when you get down. It's the Magic Kingdom. It's the happiest place on earth. You're going to get down there and go, ah, crowds and people are crammed into tiny places. And why am I here? It'll be great. I'm excited for you.
Katsumi in the chat room says fat humans should be similar to pandas. I want to see Kul Tirans now with the short, stubby little legs that the Pandarans have. That would be hilarious.
That's pretty good. Yeah, Max Power makes a good point. Seems like the end of Legion, they were not wanting to put the resources into wholly new models, just reskins, and someone won the argument that they needed to be included. Maybe. I can see how that would happen in a workflow. But the Kul Tirans are a different bag. You can't just skin them. But I really did think, I mean, straight up, when this expansion was announced and its features were discussed, I thought I would, on day one, if I wanted to, could dork around with a Zandalari troll. I just did. That's how it sounded. Everything that they announced, I thought I could. And I also thought, during that Legion space where we started to get wind of who the races in there were going to be, and we're getting that stuff early, like the High Mountain Tauren and all that, I thought that stuff, by the time this expansion rolled around, would just be accessible and not have to go back and do stupid stuff in Legion if you didn't do it before. I still am pissed about that. I think that was lame. I understand people who unlocked it are happy they unlocked it. I get it. I'm saying it shouldn't have ever been that in the first place. It just should be, oh, okay, well, here these guys are coming in the next expansion. That's exciting. Ooh, here they are now. Go play one if you want to make one. I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned that way. Where are we now? What are we looking at here? Oh, here we go. I already read that. Oh, and I thought a big deal. He says no major class changes until the next expansion. So if you're expecting any kind of big rework, other than, you know, tweaks here and balance changes there, little stuff, no changes to classes until whatever the next expansion would be, which we would in theory hear about either, I guess it would be this BlizzCon if there was one. If there's an announcement, it would be at BlizzCon, wouldn't there be? I guess it could be any time during the year, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance, like at a Gamescom or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
they did that with Legion, right? Yeah, Legion was Gamescom. It was 2 days, yeah. 2 days after Nerdtacular 2015, where Chris Metzen thought I was getting everybody in trouble because I had Liam O'Brien do a read for the video, and none of us knew it had anything to do with
Illidan. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
He was freaked out. He was like, dude, what do they know? Like, he really thought we were scooping it. And I'm like, we had no idea. And I don't think Liam, I'm not sure Liam, in retrospect, would do it again. I think he hadn't put two and two together that it would be perceived as a, not a leak, but, you know, like a hint or whatever. But it was, that was a fun moment in my life. Anyway, so who knows? But you're not going to get any changes. So, Patrick, all your desires for whatever your favorite class is that you want to see change right now, you're not going to get it until a new expansion. And even then, who knows if you will. What do you think of that?
I wasn't listening.
That's what I thought. I feel like you're on the point. Are you on the point? Who's on the point?
Yes.
Ah, sweet. Who's winning? Anybody winning? You winning?
The jury's still out.
Patrick's playing Overwatch on the show, which I love. I love that you do that.
I was listening until, like, but right now it's super tense. We're in overtime.
Are we bothering you, Patrick?
Like, do you
ask your question again?
Are we interrupting you?
I promise.
I will most likely answer if you ask
man,
again.
Man, has don't you do another WoW podcast?
Those icy veins. No, on that show he plays Hearthstone the whole time. That's fine. Hey, Patrick, it's funny you say or this all came up because of you, I'm kind of back into Overwatch again, weirdly. And it's it's all because 2 weeks ago when you played on the show, I thought, oh, yeah, I haven't been in there in a while. I should probably get in there again. So I'm kind of back into playing Overwatch because of you and what you're doing. So look at you making a Blizzard evangelist till the end. Well done. Congratulations.
You're welcome. Now, what was the question?
I don't even remember. It was something good.
The moment is gone, Patrick.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know. I feel like the moment is still there.
The moment's there until your team is in their victory poses and someone gets play of the game. All right.
Yeah. And we won.
Yeah, of course. Let's talk about this, though. Patrick, you have to have thoughts on this guy. Blizzard hired a huge get, I think, from Project CD Red. This is the story lead on much of the Witcher series and was the story lead on Cyberpunk 20... What's the year they give that game?
77.
I didn't know that game was based on a tabletop game, by the way. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that?
Yeah. Didn't know Cyberpunk?
I didn't.
I didn't at one point, and then I found out, and then I forgot again because I don't think it's that important of a detail.
It's not. It's like The Witcher being based on books. I didn't know that when I played The Witcher the first time. Now I know. I'm sure they're good, but I didn't know they were based on books. So same thing for me. Yeah. Not that big a deal. But anyway, he has now left and headed over to Blizzard. I'm going to give you his name, and let's see how I butcher it. Here we go, because he's a Polish dude, and so those names are always easy. Here it is. Sebastian, that part's easy. Oh, Variety, really? You're going to make me sit here for 10 seconds for an ad? This is fantastic.
Hold on. You can skip it.
I know. Just hate it.
Top right.
No, I know how the internet works. I got this. It's good. I got it. Okay. His name is Sebastian Stepien, I think. I don't know. He has left the Polish game studio this year for a role as creative director for Blizzard Entertainment, according to a recent changes in the developer's LinkedIn page spotted by a user. And then that got posted everywhere. Over a near 13-year career with CD Projekt Red, Stepien, or Stepien, however you say it, rose through the ranks.
I looked it up yesterday. I think it is Stepien.
Is it Stepien? Okay. He started out as a junior dialogue writer in 06 and then became lead story designer in 2010 after being promoted to creative director for Cyberpunk 2077 in 2013, which was well before we'd seen anything from that game other than rumors. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, Witcher 2, The Witcher Enhanced Edition, and the original The Witcher. He began with his new role at Blizzard in January 2019, so he's there now. It is very unclear, entirely unclear, what project he's currently working on, if any. If this is a more executive position, you know, when Metzen left, he was head of all, what was it? They had a term.
Creative something?
Franchise development, creative, president of creative franchise development or something, whatever it was. So he was kind of like creative guy over all franchises. And I'm not saying that's what his job is, but I'm saying it's possible. It's like one of those more executive upper echelon deals, or it could just be a game we don't know about yet. So let's pontificate here. Patrick, what do you think he's working on? Do you think it's a new game? Do you think it's an old game? Do you think it's a... What's this guy doing?
I have no idea, but yeah, it's fun to speculate. The thing that struck me is the fact that we don't usually have, I think, people who are super into story development at Blizzard, or maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't think the story is usually the best, most important part of Blizzard games. I've often found it to be relatively weak. WoW might be the exception in some parts, but not in all. Mm. It's deep when you look into it further, but in the games themselves, I don't know. I feel it's not the kind of thing you need someone from, you know, who developed a super narrative-focused game like The Witcher. So, and of course, we know that they're working on Diablo 4. So I'm kind of wondering, are they going into the kind of direction for Diablo 4 that would necessitate someone who's really good about writing stuff?
Mm. I mean, it's clearly,
or maybe, you know. I'm guessing it's either that or a completely different game, like a new IP. Maybe it's an Overwatch-based game. I'm certain, given how little they have developed the story in Overwatch, like just straight up developing the story, you know, of the universe and the game, it's all light touches like it's been for a while. But so I think there's definitely going to be another game in the franchise. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't there be? And maybe that's it. Maybe it's Diablo 4. I'd be interested to see a Diablo 4 with a strong narrative focus, because as we all agree, I think 3 was kind of crappy.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, I love 3, but not for its story.
not for the story. Yeah. It's
I love some character stuff. There are beats in there I really like, but it's not like a
really?
Yeah, which there's ones? A few things. I mean, it's mostly just iconic confrontations between Imperius and Tyriel, for example, or I think the cutscenes are incredible in that game, and they're super cool and iconic moments.
Yeah, but not story wise.
No. That's what I'm saying. Is like there are beats in the story where they illustrate them really well. Let's put it that way.
Mm. Kane, I think Imperius is a great character. Yeah. I wouldn't say story wise it.
Oh no, they have
Soul is better.
That's what I'm saying. They have great characters that they have not that they did not take in really great story directions, and that bums me out a little. There's plenty of work to do there. They could do, but. Garrett, I'm curious what you think. Do you think maybe we get a standalone RPG? Ooh, because that's what this guy makes. What do you think?
I mean, I certainly hope so. That's what I would like. I would really like to see some single player at a Blizzard in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, given the guy's back catalog of work, it could be anything. I mean, CD Projekt Red does fantasy and sci-fi. And that's the gamut of what Blizzard covers. So I don't think there's like anything I'm like, oh, it's obvious he's working on this. I think it's likely he could be working on the next Diablo game.
Yeah.
And it's kind of helping out with the story over there. Because I'm with you. I think Diablo 3 was pretty weak.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things.
I agree.
But yeah, it's hard for me not to just run away with what I hope was like, I'd like to see a CD Projekt Red-esque game from Blizzard.
Gosh, dude. It just gets me so going to start thinking about it. So this is the other problem. I've been playing Vermintide 2 a lot with friends, and it's fun, and it's cool, and it makes me wish all RPGs looked like it, and that all boss fights and raids felt like it. I know it's not the same world or game or any of that, but they've recreated some of that stuff in the most amazing detail. It's just really cool, but there's this mission you run in that game where you enter what feels like a hyper-realistic version of what Orgrimmar would look like. It's got all the traditional sort of orc spikes sticking out to be defenses for the gates and things like that. And the whole place just feels like an orc hellscape. It's awesome. And every time I play that game, I go, man, I want a game that looks like this set in Warcraft. Vermintide 2.
Oh, Vermintide. Gotcha. Warhammer. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I haven't played
it's
it at
really
all.
Cool. It's so cool, some of those places. By the way, that game is a good game by itself. It is a incredible experience with friends. At the end of the day, it's kind of Left 4 Dead with leveling and loot. I get that.
That's all you had to tell me. All right, I'm interested in Vermintide.
You should play Vermintide 2 then, because that's exactly what it is. You even have the special mobs that come and get you, like, you know, there's equivalents to Left 4 Dead, the guy that would jump on you and pound on you until you shot him off. What was his, who's called?
God, the jockey?
No, was it the jockey? No, he was the one that get on your head and make you run the other way. The
one that would leap on you. You're thinking of
the guy in the hood.
What were they called? Stalkers?
Stalkers, that's it. There's an equivalent to kind of that. There's this character type that does a similar thing. So there's stuff like that in the game as you play through, and then there's big boss battles at the end, and there's all this, but then there's also the loot and the progression, and the entire thing, at least visually and action-wise, makes me go, man, why is this not how I'm raiding in World of Warcraft? Why can't this be an MMO at some point, or somebody figure out a way to meld this fidelity with the games, you know, with a game that I love like Warcraft or an MMO?
It would have to be a new game.
It would totally have to be. I totally agree. I mean, that's not even what this game is. It just is so inspirational to see the detail in it and go, that's Warcraft if Warcraft was not a cartoon. It's hard to explain.
Vermintide also, like, from what I've seen, is a little lacking in its color palette.
Depends on where you go. Depends on where you go.
It's kind of like, I call them dirt games. Like, everything's brown. Like,
that's dirt a good way games. Of characterizing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like it. Dirt games.
Like the first Gears of War, like it was like, this looks amazing. Of course it does. It's freaking black and white. There's no color.
Yeah. It depends on where you're at in this thing. I would actually say there's a lot of variety, but it's usually variety between levels. So like one level is very colorful, jungly thing. And the next one is this dirt, like you say. And then the other one is totally different than that. Like they do keep a lot of variety there, but it's not in the same run necessarily. But it's a really cool game. It, you know, tons of people still playing it. It's a really beautiful PC game. But my point with that is I see that and I just go, oh, Blizzard, can you just do some next gen-y? And then it always comes back to me. I want like a Warcraft single player focused. It can have multiplayer elements, but single player focused Warcraft adventure in the vein of Skyrim or something. I would just, I would poop myself. Yeah. There would be poop in my pants, you guys.
Yeah, to me, it's like, I don't know. If you're looking to make money, it just seems like a license to print money.
Yeah.
Making I mean, it something like that.
It does, but I think, I don't know, but maybe but nobody's making multi. Everyone's focused so much on multiplayer and freaking mobile now, and Blizzard's like, everything's got to be an eSport.
About games as a service is that you can keep making money once you have people invested. So that's, you know, the ones that are still doing super ambitious single player experiences are more often than not the manufacturers, console manufacturers, and they're exclusives. So they have a, you know, it's kind of the cost is a little bit offset. And I do want to say as well, the fact that he was doing that at CD Projekt, everyone is like, oh, so Blizzard is making The Witcher Warcraft. Like, there's very little chance that the reason they got him was to make the exact same games he was making at CD Projekt. Mm-hmm. They're just, they need someone to write good story, and he can do that. And also, he's probably making a ton more money at, you know, at Blizzard in the US than he was. I think Bellular mentioned this, than he was in Poland.
Yeah.
So that's worth mentioning as well. It might even be that he's completely copping out. He's like, have those great games. I want a lot of money, and I'm going to get that at Blizzard because they need me, and their games are not, I don't know.
It's possible. It's possible.
I think the next PC Diablo is going to be the closest thing we get to kind of what we're talking about here, because I think it's going to take a page out of the book of things we've been seeing from games like Destiny and The Division.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know.
Absolutely. But it's still going to be, it's still going to be a very multiplayer focused game. I mean, Diablo, you can't make it not multiplayer, right?
Well, I mean, you could, but they won't, though. I agree with you guys 100% on that. The thing is, if you look at Blizzard's lineup, you go look at the launcher right now, the most single player thing they make is Diablo. And that's got multiplayer all over it if you use those features. But it's the closest you're going to get to a single-player experience if you want one. Yeah, you can play through WoW a lot. That's, you know, a lot of single-player. I understand that. But as a standalone sort of packaged game, that game still is the only thing in their lineup that feels that way to me. Everything else is multiplayer-focused. And I just don't see them shifting back and going, well, what if we did a purely... I mean, it could have co-op. It could have other stuff. I would just love it, though. I just don't know if the money's there anymore and the numbers they need for those kind of games, which really bums me out to even say
it. And I mean, as much as I would like that, I mean, I think my dream game is something that's kind of in the vein of, like you said, like a Skyrim, but I want to be able to play with my friends. I'm not sure I want it to be massive, like a full-on MMO, but maybe something more like a Diablo or a Destiny, where you're with a small group and you head out into a large world.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that. And also,
I'd really like to see Blizzard spin on that.
If the guy's coming fresh from a very sci-fi point of view and this is where his strengths have been for the last 6 years, maybe StarCraft II finally gets something, you know? Finally gets a deal. Yeah, StarCraft II is single player, kill Mark. You make a good point. But it's also, they want you in multiplayer over
there.
Yeah,
that's very old school, though. Like doing RTS. I mean, that is like the oldest of old school Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think we're ever going to see another like RTS campaign out of Blizzard?
No. I mean, they might keep adding things like they have been doing the hero pack stuff or whatever. It's the hero campaigns for the game. But I don't think I don't think we live in a world anymore in a post MOBA world where anyone makes like, you're going to have lots of little side ones. Like, I just picked up Warhammer 40K. What's it called? Gothic Armada 2, which is it's an RTS. It's set in space. It's super rad. Big giant ships doing all kinds of nasty in space. It's fantastic, but it's very niche, and that's how this stuff's going to be forever. Like, RTS isn't dead, but I don't think it's ever flagship giant studio. Here's our new RTS game. I just don't think it happens. No, we're past that, which bums me out a little, just because I think there's fun to be had, and maybe there's a resurgence at some point. But I think that resurgence was StarCraft II. I think that was your chance, and they did great. It did great, and lost interest a little bit over time, but that was in conjunction with the rise of MOBAs, and you know, Blizzard backed a particular donkey, and decided not to back the other donkey, and the other donkey took over in that space. So what are you gonna do? All right. Well, we'll see. We don't know what he's going to do. We'll find out soon enough. Well, well, well. It's that time again to talk about our friends at Audible. There has never been a better time to start listening on Audible. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere, at home, at the gym, on your commute, or just on the go, whatever it is you're doing. You'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges, rollover credits, and an audiobook library, that you can keep forever, even if you cancel your account. Just go to audible.com/wow or text WOW to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content and listen for a change. Aww. There's no better place to listen than Audible, because now Audible members get even more. Exclusive audio fitness programs, audiobooks, Audible Originals, and more. And now with Audible Originals, you can experience even more custom content made exclusively for Audible members. I love Audible. It is how I read the last Warcraft book. That's how you should read them, because it's a great way to do it. And with Audible, you get access to an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and most importantly to me, science fiction and fantasy. Can't get me enough of that. Every month, as an Audible member, you get one credit good for any audiobook you choose, plus two Audible Originals from a changing selection, so you can you just can't get those anywhere else. I mean, this is the place. Audible members also get access to audio fitness and health workouts to begin your year on the right foot. It's January, everybody. Get out there. Get it going. Get started today with a 30-day trial when you go to audible.com/wow or text WOW to 500-500. Audible, the most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories, the best place to listen. There we go. I know how to push buttons. I've won awards for this. Hey, check it out. What's going on around Blizzard? Hearthstone? What's happening? Anything? Just cards? That's it? Just cards?
We got a rank play update.
Oh, good. How's that working for everybody?
They are drastically reducing the amount of stars you need to get to move between ranks. So there was a point where they made them all 5 stars. Like, yeah. There's 5 stars in every rank from rank 50 to legend rank. There's 5 stars for each rank. Now rank 50 through 16 is only going to need 3 stars to move through. 15 through 11 are down to 4 stars. And then once you hit 10, it's now you're back to the normal 5 stars per rank. So you're going to be able to climb quicker.
That sounds like an improvement to the video game I've not been playing. So there you go. Yes. Heroes is still Heroes. There's not a lot of news going on. We're a couple weeks past the release of Imperius. I feel like nobody's talking about him, but you know, he's there doing his thing.
Oh, we got a giant patch. Wednesday.
Huge patch, but all small stuff. It's like tweak here and tweak there. I had this theory on Core that maybe this patch was the beginning of them setting the stage for a refocus on the game in a way that you know, forgets a little bit about high-level pro play and just focuses on what they want to make and not just constantly counterbalancing and balancing all day. And that this lays the groundwork for that. It's a nice, flat, little, many heroes affected, it's very small, simple ways kind of thing happening. But I there's probably nothing to that. That's just me being wishful thinking about it. I don't know. But Heroes, still in a weird place. We're kind of in a holding pattern. We need to see what they do. Like, Blizzard has a little bit to prove in terms of their post the announcement of ECC going away and then pulling back from the game a little bit, but then them saying, hey, this is a new chance for us to refocus our efforts on this game and make the game we want to make. Well, we need to see some of that, and I don't know what that is yet. So
I think we're waiting for the merge of Hero League and Team League, which we knew was coming, yeah. And I was expecting to take a decent amount of time anyway, so I honestly don't see this little bit of quiet time here in January as as a big deal. Because I also like to point out to everyone that usually over the holidays, we don't see anything from Heroes. And we got a new hero and I believe two patches over the holiday break.
This is true.
Which is a lot more than we usually get.
It is absolutely true. Overwatch got a bunch of the new Chinese New Year skins things they always do for this holiday. And they all are rad as always. So if you're into that and you're skin hunting, it's that time of year, baby. It started yesterday.
And, just stay on the point.
Yeah, stay on the point, no matter what you do.
That's what you have to do.
Diablo Season 16 started, and there's some nice stuff in there if you dig deep. If you want to go look at what that includes, it's actually a bit more than your usual season, mostly in the form of old sets being tweaked and having like colossally buffed stuff happen. So,
well, there's that, and there's the fact that the buff for the season is the it's the season of grandeur. So essentially you have the passive effect of the Ring of Royal Grandeur always active, which is very different from the previous seasons, because in previous seasons it was like you get more stuff from goblins or you get more stuff from bounties. And here it's actually changing the way, to an extent, the way you play the game. And a lot of people have it on Switch, and so that's good reason to get into it.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, they're getting their seasons over there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lobster Shaver says, when's the last time I play Overwatch? Yesterday, Lobster Shaver. I've been playing it again. You must not have been here earlier when I said that. I like Overwatch. Overwatch is great. I just kind of took a break, that's all. I killed it, dude. I took some Junkrat business out into the world and just destroyed fools. Also, Brigitte or whatever the hell her name is, she's still broken.
Freaking, Brigitte.
Yeah, she's still Brigitte. Freaking OP and busted, okay? She just is.
No, she isn't. She isn't. No, she was nerfed, and now she's a good healer, but not as... You just shouldn't stay too close to her. Maybe that's your problem.
Yeah, I get too close. I'm attracted to her. What can I tell you?
That is understandable.
That's the end of that. Hey, how about we do one of these right here? Whoops, right here.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Time for the town crier. That's an email. That's what that is. And you guys send them in to us at theinstance@gmail.com. We got one from Almighty Cow. I love it. All should bow down to Almighty Cow. His subject line was the slash whistle removal. Controversial that was.
Are we freaking back on this, really?
Yeah, check it out. Check it out, dude. We're going to dig this corpse back up, reanimate it, and then put him back in the grave. It says this, hey, Instance Crew, just wanted to start out by saying that everything you guys said about the catcalling a couple episodes ago was dead on. On the flip side of that, my wife and I play WoW together and love the slash flirting and slash whistling at each other throughout our play session, and we're very disappointed that they changed the slash whistle. It's obviously not the end of the world of Warcraft, nor a big deal at all. Just wanted to point out that it wasn't all objectifying women, and that there was some that was being, or there was some fun being had with it. Thanks a ton. Love the show, Almighty Cow. I mean, yeah, there are cases, right? Like, you're playing with your wife and she's playing with you and you whistle at her, ha ha, that's a funny flirty unit deal we just had there, honey. Wasn't that great? Let's go do it, you know, or whatever. I don't know, but.
That's probably how it goes.
That's
how it goes, right? I have that nailed. I nailed that. So I guess what I'm saying is I agree with him across the board here. Yes, there were innocuous uses of it. Yes, it's not the end of the world. And that's pretty much it. So thanks for the email that we all agree with. I mean, there's nothing there to like disagree with. He's like,
I all I can say is I did that too. Yeah. Katie and I would whistle all the time.
Yeah, I never used it.
I swear to God, Katie had the slash no like hotkey though, because she would always hit back real fast with the no.
I do this thing in the game that I still do. My hunter, who hasn't had mana since what, Wrath of the Lich King at the end of that, I think. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Cataclysm hasn't. Yeah. Cataclysm 40 hasn't had mana. But he still can do the slash OOM, which is out of mana. So I do it all the time. Like, we'll finish a fight in a thing, and I'll go, and it's, again, the hunter who's now got energy. It's got nothing to do with mana. I'll type slash OOM, and he'll go, I need mana. My mana is low. I'm out of mana. Like, all of those lines. It's fantastic. I love spamming that because it makes no sense.
I feel like this this would become like some kind of coded racist language for some reason on the internet. Like people who say I'm out of mana when they don't actually have mana are meaning some horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
I'm
no, they'll figure it out. You're right. They'll take any innocent thing and turn it into whatever. So
I puzzle.
But until then, enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm puzzled, Patrick. I don't follow at all.
No, it would start on 4chan. Somebody on 4chan would go,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know what we should do? We should make people think that doing /OOM means this. And then it would start to spread. And then before you know it, some national freaking Newsweek.com's reporting, kids today are using a new form of signaling racist overtones to each other with /OOM. Let's talk to Francis McGeaney for more. Like, that's what it is.
They aren't, because they're not playing World of Warcraft. They're playing Fortnite.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's true.
It's a good point. That's their chat room and everything now, you know. That's where everyone goes to be and live and stay. All the kids.
I feel like it's World of Warcraft is the video game retirement for all of us.
Well, again, we are in our 40s and 30s and 50s.
Yeah, I'm glad we brought it back around to that topic. It's such a
We got three big decades all covered here.
Someone in the chat would like to know if you're playing Magic the Gathering Arena or not. Are you playing it?
I did a bit over the holidays. I really liked it. I just don't have enough time.
No bandwidth for an additional.
Kyle and I were talking about this on the after Into the Nexus last night, and I said, you know, if Jalen Bragg did go up and like pull the switch and be like, that's it, Heroes is dead. And suddenly I had this big void of game time. I'm pretty sure Magic Arena is where I would go.
It seems cool. Like I don't know. It's ironic because they're getting a lot of talk and chatter right now. And they were the ones that suffered the most from not having a strong presence in a digital forum. Their original Magic the Gathering iterations for computer were terrible. They were awful. And to have this come full circle and have them putting out a quality Magic experience for Magic fans is kind of cool. I think that's
great. To me, it reminds me of like when Guild Wars 2 came out and its relationship to World of Warcraft. Mm. Because up until then, it was everyone yelling, I'm going to be a WoW killer. And they never were.
Yeah.
It never happened. And that was happening for a while with Hearthstone. You had Gwent come out.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Yeah. You had all these other extraneous. Wasn't there an Elder Scrolls card game I can't remember the name of? That's how much no one cared about it.
It's still going. It's called Elder Scrolls Legends, and I know it has its fans, but I don't think it did. It didn't crack what it was trying to crack.
Right, like not even close. Yeah. And that's, you know, we saw the same thing happen with World of Warcraft. And I even enjoyed quite a few of those MMOs. I really enjoyed Tor. I had a good time with Rift.
Mm-hmm.
But they were far from like taking out World of Warcraft, and I think that's what we're seeing with Hearthstone. You had all these other card games come out. Some were fine, you know, it's nothing against them, but they didn't unseat Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And now and so I'm kind of looking at Magic like, oh, it's like Guild Wars 2. It's like, it's just really good.
Yeah, it's just really strong, and it will probably continue to be, and it'll have enough of a fan base like Guild Wars 2 that'll stick around and do good stuff. And I would say ESO to a degree. ESO has gotten really strong. I like that MMO a lot. But.
Yeah, yeah. Really, Artifact is the one that's just puzzling. I thought it was going to come and rock the world, and nobody cares.
Nobody's playing Artifact. Like, what? That it's, must suck, man. Like, to be that, what's his name? Richard Garfield? Is that his name? The creator of Magic, and then he made that too for Valve? I can't remember his name. Is it Richard Garfield? Whatever his name is. But just imagine how he must feel right now. Like, nobody is playing your new game over there. Like, nobody. And, like, Artifact went from, like, all the talk to, like, zip, zap.
I think it's going to be one of those games, like, almost like Rainbow Six Siege. I think in a year, we're going to be like, oh, crap, everyone really likes this game.
Oh, yeah.
Siege was. It's going to need to go free to play. That's a huge issue.
Well, it is free to play. Just
pay for it.
You mean the.
No, you have to pay
for it.
No, it isn't.
You have to buy it for $20 just to get in the door.
Oh, F that.
And then you have to buy more stuff in cards and stuff.
Yeah, F that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it is. It's not a
particular. That's the reaction of a lot of people.
That's for potato heads. I'm not doing that. Well,
at least in Magic, when I spend money, I get to keep cards.
Well, what was Valve thinking, you guys? They know free to play better than anybody with all their experience with freaking.
It's very strange.
Dota and everything, it's
especially with Hearthstone as the free to play alternative.
Yes,
I don't know.
Very odd. All right, well, dummies. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do? Thanks, Almighty Cow, for your email. theinstance@gmail.com is that address. Don't forget, if you are looking for more Garrett in your life, go to amove.tv. Anything happening there you want people to be aware of at the moment?
As always, I'd like folks to go check out my solo show because I do more WoW talk over there. It's R2-T2 is how you can find it. and just sprucing that up. And then also go check out my graphic design portfolio. I finally updated it. It's at nomoonart.com.
Nice. That means you'll be no images of anyone mooning anybody over there.
I can guarantee it, unless someone between me saying that and you going and looking at the website hacks my website and puts butts on it.
Praise Yogg-Saron. That makes me very happy to hear that. I don't want to see any butts. Well, that's fantastic. Patrick, of course, over at frenchspin.com. What's going on, Patrick? Anything cool people should see or look at?
I guess Pixels is a video game show that you might enjoy, where we talk about the wonderful world of gaming. The Phidias Club is also cool, where we talk about the actual world, which is maybe not so wonderful, but at least we try to understand it.
Yeah, it's a good show. That's if you're feeling politically...
It's like eating your greens. You might not like doing it, but you feel better afterwards.
Yeah, it gives you a good poo. You have a good poo from it.
That's right? Not exactly where I was going.
Well, it's fiber. It's a good bulking agent. You just have a better poo. I mean, look, we're here for the 40s and the 30s people who are going to start have to worrying about their poo. So good luck to you. All right. Also, from my end of things, you can check out the show at theinstance.net, and as always, frogpants.com's got all kinds of other stuff, including other shows like this, if you are interested in the pantheon of podcasts available there. Well, gosh darn it, it's time to go check it out. I also do some video game streams and some other stuff right here at frogpants.tv, so you can check that schedule there. That's it. Instant Show on Twitter. Garrett Art, of course, on Twitter. You can also find Patrick at NotPatrick. And as always, what else? Is that all? That's it. That's everything. We haven't heard from Terpster in a while, but he's been busy. Busy, busy boy. Maybe we'll get some kind of lore thing happening soon. We'll do a little side thing. And then new Chris Metzen episode coming up soon as well. So watch for that. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Patrick, and for Garrett. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
See you.
Unusual rule of war leads to alliance arrest. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. As the Horde and Alliance struggle for control over both Xandalar and Kul Tiras, adventurers from both sides have swarmed to areas of concentrated combat. Unlike early in the campaign when it was rare to see the opposite faction unless you went looking for them, these invasions cram hundreds of combatants into one area for 7 hours. However, given the rolling window that these invasions adhere to, adventurers often find themselves scrambling to complete their missions before time runs out. This was the situation faced by Barter Scragglebeard last Tuesday, when he got stuck in traffic coming home from work and logged in with only 30 minutes left on the clock. He had just completed the 4 quests in Drusfar with 10 minutes left when disaster struck. The power went out in his neighborhood. Being a resourceful dwarf, he quickly logged in via laptop and cellular hotspot and was able to finish the final mission. But when he went to turn in the quest, he discovered the Boralus Constable was waiting for him and he was placed under arrest. Apparently, the Boralus Tinkers Guild owns a monopoly on using electrical power storage devices in any fighting on Kul Tiras, and Barter's use of his laptop put him in violation. And so, instead of gaining a piece of 370 gear, the unfortunate dwarf found himself stuck in the Boralus stockade. The charge? Assault and battery. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at overlydramaticnews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Please use before date on top of Buxley. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about cooking. Barfalung asks, Buxley, there are so many recipes out there. Where did they all come from? Many recipes were handed down from generation to generation, even the really terrible ones. It's tradition, you know? And even within each faction, each race has their own specialties, which are also handed down. You want beer? Ask a dwarf. They've probably forgotten more about beer than most people know. Gnomes that are terrible at skydiving make excellent pancakes. And night elves? Well, let's just say things have gotten a lot better from the very early night elf days. They don't talk about it much now, but stick was considered a great delicacy. That's right, stick, as in don't point that stick at me. That kind of stick. It was popular for many years. And then came cooked stick. I could go on, but things are a lot better now. Now they have salads. I know that's just leaves, but at least it's not on a cooked stick. Anyway, all recipes you know have been created by famous chefs from many different regions. That blonde spiky haired dude, Guy Fieri, the host of Dungeons, Driveovers, and Dives, he created many interesting things. Gorgon Ramsay comes up with some pretty good dishes too, which are enjoyable if you can get past all the yelling he does. And Bobby Flay You Alive, that famous orc chef will even challenge you to a cooking contest. Be careful, though. If you lose, the consequences are pretty grim. Thanks for your question. If you'd like to know what I've been up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. If you like the segment, please take the time and rate it on iTunes.
Time is money, friend!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.